Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, buddy, how's it going? This is a fake hello because earlier we recorded and then your mic was a piece of shit.
It was too loud.
Yeah. You know, it's still a little loud, but I'll just fix it in post. It is what it is.
You know what's interesting? Is it too loud?
It's okay.
Are you sure it's not your headphones? Maybe it's your headphones.
I don't think so. I think it's your mic.
Maybe I just have a lot to get off my chest. Just natural.
Maybe you should just like move the mic like a good, like, I don't know, like 3 feet away from your face.
What about now? How is it now?
It just like maybe a little bit more.
Really?
Yeah, this is much better.
I have never been this far.
I think also it might not be connected to your mic. I think it might be connected to your laptop.
It's absolutely not.
It says it's connected to my mic. It is what it is. We make it work. All right.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I'm sorry.
It's fine. You said you have a lot to talk about. I actually have a huge list of things to talk about today.
Mm-hmm.
But very important, the most important thing that we did not mention last week. In fact, I saw the tweet right after we finished recording, and this is very important to you, which is that Jeremy Allen White has been cast as Bruce Springsteen in the first ever Bruce biopic. As a fan of the Bear and also a Bruce fan, what are your thoughts on this?
I'm very excited. Oh, is that too loud?
Jesus Christ.
My excitement is very loud. I am excited to see it. Obviously, Bruce has not gotten the biopic treatment yet. I don't know if I'm really ready to watch a Bruce biopic because Bruce is still very much alive. He's still with us.
Do you feel like biopics are more for dead people?
They should be kind of reserved for dead people.
But like Elton,
what do you do afterwards?
Elton John had a biopic.
Did you watch it?
Nope.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, yeah, he's out there. He's touring. He's just playing in LA, showing his breasts to everybody.
That's right.
Yeah.
Exciting for everybody.
Yeah.
In terms of the movie, I'm excited because I like Carmy Bear. He's a good guy. I am worried about, you know, people can do like a Bruce caricature, which is what you and our cousins do when you want to annoy me. Just be like, factory, working man, factory, you know, that stuff. So people can do that. But I trust Jeremy Allen White to not do that. I trust him to do like an actual, you know, movie role.
So here's my question about Bruce. I'm not a part of the Bruceverse.
Uneducated.
Illiterate. I'm illiterate when it comes to Bruce. But, you know, Jeremy Allen White, I've seen him in two things. I've seen him in The Bear, and I've watched all of Shameless, and I love Shameless.
Yeah.
He plays an angry character. He plays a very angry man. He plays a very, like, tortured man. Is Bruce Springsteen a tortured man?
Bruce Springsteen is secretly a very tortured man, but in the best possible way, because he does a lot of self-reflection. So heard people hurt. He doesn't hurt.
Okay.
He doesn't hurt. He hurts himself.
Oh my God. Hurts himself.
I mean, not like that, but I mean, he hurts himself through his music and then he puts that out and then we all get to hurt with him. It's beautiful.
Okay.
I think the movie itself is about the recording of Nebraska.
So
Nebraska was said, ooh, like you care. Nebraska was, and there you go. Start looking at your cell phone right now. I saw you glance at it.
Nebraska was. You all you said so far was Nebraska was.
And you immediately lost interest. You're like, I don't give a fuck if it's a state or a college football team.
Yeah, you're talking about arguably one of the most boring states that we have.
You know, the album itself is a haunting reflection of the sadness. So this is why I think Jeremy Allen White could be good, would be good. So Nebraska itself, the album, the recording of it, was in between. So 1970, I'm going to go through a whole Bruce history now. 1970s, Bruce became arguably one of the biggest rock stars in the world, right?
So I thought he came up in the 80s, but go on.
See, this is the beauty of Bruce. So in the 70s, he put out two albums, which were pretty well received. Then he put out Born to Run, which was like the biggest album of the year.
Sure, yeah.
Super duper star, right? Uh-huh. And then he had two more albums. He had Darkness on the Edge of Town, and he had The River, also smash hits.
Sure.
Everything is great.
Yeah.
He's touring, E Street Band, everybody loves each other. Then he goes off and he writes... Then he writes Nebraska, because the point of Nebraska was, you know, he's the way that he used to do it is he'd write all the songs and he'd bring the E Street Band in and then they'd put the music or whatever. Mm-hmm. But during Nebraska, he's going through like a silent, like a tough period because the country was, you know, in a bad place. And of course, the people and the working man and all this stuff, right? Mm-hmm. So he wrote Nebraska and he recorded it on like a little tape player, tape deck, tape deck by himself. And then he was going to have the other guys play on it. But the album itself was good enough. It was like haunting and silent and stuff like that. So it's a lot of darkness in Nebraska. It's not like a regular Bruce, not like a regular Bruce and the E Street Band album. So, and then from Nebraska, he went to Born in the USA, which made him like one of the biggest pop stars in the world. So it is an interesting period in the Bruce life.
A dark period. Yeah, a dark period.
A dark period.
Is Bruce Springsteen tall?
No. Bruce is like my height.
He's no like way.
Eight. Yeah, it's a little guy.
5'8", okay.
It's like he's probably like 5'9" and 5'10", I think, but I think with age he's probably my height now. But Brucey Bruce does wear heels.
Oh, okay, yeah. Because Jeremy Allen White is a short king. He's itty bitty. He's tiny.
It makes sense. Yeah, it makes sense. The physicality makes sense. Also, I think the shape of the face, I think, makes sense.
Do you think Jeremy Allen White is attractive?
Of course I do. Yeah.
Okay.
He isn't like regular leading man attractive, I don't think. He's got what do we call it? A lot of face.
He's got a lot of face. I also think that he is one of those people that is on the edge of ugly or hot.
Yeah, exactly. And that makes him super hot. When you are on the edge of, you know, hot and ugly, you can, and you pull it off.
It's like the other guy, Barry, what's his face from Saltburn? Barry, he was in Banshee of Inisherin and.
The Irish guy?
Irish guy.
What's his name? Barry Keoghan? I don't know how to say his last name.
Keoghan,
yeah.
Yeah.
He's that guy another. Hot. That guy is. I mean, between the two of them, I think Jeremy Allen White.
No, certainly. I think Jeremy is more traditionally attractive, but they're both on the edge of hideous and just like weird looking guys. And I'm like, why are you so hot?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not kicking either one of them out of bed.
No, never. No. Of course not.
Unless if they're unannounced, then it's weird.
Yeah. So speaking of not kicking men who I'm not married to out of bed, Ramadan is over.
I'm glad that the month that you had to stop kicking other men out of your bed is over. It must have been really difficult for you.
Anyway, today was the last fast. And let me tell you, I've mentioned before that when my menzies start, the weather is better because God doesn't want me to be on my period and also suffer with bad weather. And guess what, Raheel? As soon as the weather got better this week, I stopped fasting. So I have a feeling that my theory was right based on just two instances that happened 1 month in 38 years of life. So,
you know, what's interesting is we should let meteorologists know and they can get rid of their Doppler 3000s or whatever. whenever it's coming up for you, rain is on the horizon.
Only during Ramadan, though, so that I don't have to fast. Yeah, exactly. Today, beautiful weather, 78 beautiful. Degrees today.
Yeah.
Did you partake in shorts?
Did I wear shorts? You know what? I did wear shorts outside, but it was because I was going to the gym. But I was like, oh,
yeah,
my legs are pretty warm.
Yeah, it's no pants weather officially. Mm-hmm. Very exciting times. Are you excited for the end of Ramadan? How was your Ramadan? You want to give us some thoughts about it? You started off on a high note a couple of days ago. You got the Ramadan blues.
Yeah.
How are you feeling? You feel good about yourself?
I feel pretty good about myself.
You feeling good about yourself?
You know, we've renewed our Muslim subscription for another year. Feel pretty good about that. Click. Like and subscribe. I've paid my dues. I'm good for the next 11 months. Be a complete scumbag.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I'll say this. This Ramadan was very, very easy for me. Why do you say Ramadan? This Ramadan was kind of a delight. And I'm just comparing it to like other Ramadans that I've, you know, in my memory or whatever. Yeah. But this one was pretty easy, I want to say, until the last week. Yeah. Until especially like the last 4 days. You know what it is?
Yeah.
I think, and you may have to explain this to the people, but the last 10 days of Ramadan are the holy nights.
Yes. Right?
With the 27th being the holiest. Yes. Traditionally, right? Mm-hmm. I feel like once you hit the 27th night, yeah. And once the Khatma Quran, which is the ending of the Quran that everybody reads together at the mosque, once that's done, I'm kind of checked out.
You're like, all right, we did it. Come on.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like, I think we made a pretty good dent. I think we feel pretty good. Are we still doing this? Why are we still doing this?
Okay. As a Muslim, first of all, I haven't been to Tarawih in a while, but which Tarawih is, for those of you who don't know, it's this prayer that Muslims do. So during Ramadan every night, Muslims gather at the mosque after the evening prayer, and they pray together for like an hour and a half. It's like a 90-minute sprint. And the imam reads through the entire Quran. And the thing is that you go together, you listen to the Quran, and then you want to align the ending of the 30 chapters of the Quran with the 27th night, which is the night of power, right? What's embarrassing, honestly, as Muslims is like the 27th night, if it lines up with the ending, the Quran Khatam, it's like, oh, like it's popping at the mosque. Yep. Okay. Yep. It is the who's of everybody is there.
Okay? You're like, oh, you were Muslim? I didn't even know.
Exactly. You're like, oh my God, there's so many different shapes and colors and sizes. I had no idea our community was like this. Right. But the worst is, so like in Ramadan, the last 10 days are important and the odd nights are especially important. So if the 27th lines up with the ending of the Quran, it's popping. What's embarrassing is the 28th and 29th. Empty. Nobody shows up. Everyone's done. 29th is still an important night. And the poor imam is always like on the 28th. He's like, okay, brothers and sisters, like I know we did it. We did the thing, but like it still counts. But like in people's minds, they're like, well, we already did the whole thing.
We checked out. We did the entire thing, but where were you? I'd like it when they double up on the 27th and the Khatma Quran, right?
Yeah.
But I believe my mosque, they split it up.
Yeah.
And the reason why they split it up is because you get to do the fundraising twice.
Oh, that's smart.
The Quran ends, which I guess was yesterday. I didn't
go. Yeah. They will take you down. And you know what? It's okay. I'm good. Good. Here, take my money.
That's fine. Yeah, exactly. You do a service.
Hey. Yeah. Good. Go. Good for you. We're planning to do Eid prayer tomorrow at the Turtleback Zoo.
Ooh.
Not at the zoo itself, but like by
the back of a turtle?
On the back of a turtle. If you live in New Jersey, you know about the Turtleback Zoo. They have a wonderful park nearby. And then they've got this like beautiful pavilion, like looking out into the water. There's like ducks that you could, you know, the swans that you could go with, the duck boats or whatever, where you go paddle boats. They got those. They've got a pirate park. It's so cool. So the first time ever, they're doing Eid prayer there at the pavilion. Huh.
Yeah, a pirate, yeah. Was it, did you call it a pirate park?
Yeah, it's a regatta playground. It's very exciting. Oh,
I believe the pirate park was at the first Eagle, so historically, don't check me on that.
And the ducks, the paddle ducks, the paddle the boat. Paddle ducks.
Going
yeah,
to hell.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly where I'm praying tomorrow. There's a couple of parks that are going to have services. I think my mosque is going to have a service. You know, a highlight of this Ramzan for people in North Brunswick.
Yeah,
got to see a celebrity.
Yeah, Sean King, right?
Sean King coming to my mosque. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I know. Yeah, the other day our brother sent a picture of him peeking in from somewhere.
Hovering. You know what that part was? That was when they were doing the fundraising.
Yeah, of course. Sean King was like, "I'm not here." When they were doing the fundraising, he was probably just like, "No, I don't."
Yeah, he's like, "I'll cash app you."
Anyway, Eid Mubarak to those of you celebrating.
Yes,
exciting
Eid Mubarak
time.
To everybody.
Looking forward for all of you to have your morning coffee. I've been having mine for a couple of days now, as I said, but it is what it is.
Do you have any takeaways from this Ramzan? Like, are you like anything, any lessons learned, anything like that?
This is the least guilty Ramadan I've ever had.
Nice. There you go.
Nice. But also, unfortunately, I mean, I don't know if I want to call it unfortunately, whatever, like, I wouldn't say it was my most productive Ramadan. I tried to read the Quran for the whole month every year. I didn't get to do it this year. those of you watching on YouTube will see the face that my brother just made. Yeah, it looks like that emoji with the S face. Yeah, anyway. So I tried to do those things. I just like, I couldn't. I could barely just keep my head above water, and I didn't feel bad about it. I was like, you know what? We're doing the best we can. We do the best we can. It is what it
there
is.
There you go.
Yeah. All right.
That's the way to do it.
So that's my takeaway. There we go. I was excited for my kids. My kids fasted a couple of times this Ramadan, which is more exciting. Like I was more excited for my kids than I was really for myself. For myself, it just felt like whatever. Yeah. Good. That's it. And it was a very quick one, I have to say.
It was a quick one.
it was a quick one. But yeah. I also am wondering if we're just like used to the summer fast and like
I think that's
this
what
is
it
easier
is.
For us, you know?
Yeah. You know, that's a bummer because now it's going to get easier every year.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be like, well, I can't not fast. My goal is to get to a point where I can justify completely to myself. No fasting, which I guess is when you get old or if you have like a medical condition.
So what you can do is try to get diabetes or emphysema or something in the next
I'm working on
years.
Both.
You're working on both between your iced coffees and your cigarette sticks. You know, you're on your way. You're well on your way.
Well on my way.
Well yeah. on your way. Once it gets into November, you're going to be like, I'm good. I can't use my lungs.
I can't. Yeah, I can't swallow. Stuffed yeah. a date in a pipe.
That's so messed up. Wait, I have to read you this tweet because we were talking about cigarette smoking, right?
Oh god.
And somebody
is it cool again?
Well, I'm gonna read you this thing. Hold on. I'm gonna try to find it. Hold on. While I do that, can you tell me your thoughts about the eclipse? Because we've been, you know, we had the earthquake last Friday.
Yeah.
And then we had the eclipse. You wanna talk about let's talk about the earthquake first.
Sure.
Were you shook?
How soon after that did you start making those jokes?
Immediately,
right?
Yeah.
People were like, hey, are you okay? And I was like, shaken up.
LOL.
No, I haven't used an LOL in years.
Oh.
Over 2 decades, I want to say.
Okay, that's fine.
I was at home, and the house started to shake. And my first thought was I was worried that I had overloaded the dryer. Because sometimes when the dryer is overloaded, it violently shakes.
Yeah.
You put like two different blankets in there, you're kind of screwed, right?
Yeah.
So for half a second, I thought it may have been the dryer. Then it kept going on. And it was, I think I probably felt it for like 5 to 10 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
But in those 5 to 10 seconds, I lived a lifetime. I was just,
You were spooked.
I was spooked. I was freaked out. A couple of thoughts went in my head. The first thing was, well, if it's the dryer, and this is just, you know, one of the problems with getting old is I was like, well, if it's the dryer, I know I have insurance on the dryer, but if the house gets damaged, do I have insurance to cover dryer damage to the house? I don't know.
I think you do.
And then the next thing I was like, well, I know I don't have earthquake insurance because we don't get earthquake insurance. I was like, oh, crap.
Insurance, yeah.
And then I was just like, man, like, I can't. Can you imagine living in a place where this is like a normal thing? I was just, no, I don't want the anxiety. I don't like, apparently, this is what they mean when they say you're on shaky ground. I've never really been on shaky ground before. This is shaky ground.
Which is ironic because I do think that metaphorically you've been on shaky ground many times. And you're, I'd say you're 40, 41 tomorrow. I'd say at least, 24 years of your life shaky ground?
Probably 24 because let's say I was probably until like 14, I would say I was looked after.
Yeah, your delinquency started at, say, 15.
14, 15, right? So then, yeah, it's just been non-shaky ground for maybe 16 years altogether.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to like it. I was at the hair salon.
Oh, that explains it.
What? I was at the hair salon.
Your hair's messed up.
Oh, okay. Anyway, I didn't think it was messed up, but all right. I was at the hair salon and it was like, it's right on like the ground floor. So I thought like, I heard the blow dryer going, so I just thought it was somebody's blow dryer. And then I thought like a truck, you know, like sometimes a truck will like pull up next. And so I thought it was that, but then it went on for a while and I looked out the window and there was nothing there. And I was like, what the fuck is this? And then we were like, is this an earthquake? And then it stopped. And then I texted my husband. I was like, oh my God, are you guys okay? Did you feel that? And then my phone started blowing up. And my husband said, feel what? And I was like, what? And he was home with the kids. And I was like, really? You didn't feel it? We were getting our windows replaced. So he thought it was just hammering from the windows getting replaced. And I was like, they're not jackhammering the windows to the house. Like, that was a good amount of shaking, but they never felt it. And then the kids were bummed out that they didn't get to feel an earthquake.
Oh.
I was like, that's all right.
Was he sitting down? Was your husband sitting down?
Do you think, I don't know. Maybe? I don't know what the fuck he was
doing. I'm just saying, maybe he doesn't have a sensitive butt. Maybe he doesn't.
Hey, don't talk about my husband's
butt. His butt senses are off. I don't know.
It's possible his butt senses are off. Okay, wait. I found the tweet I was looking for. So Annabelle DeSisto, who is a pop culture podcaster and also follows our account and everything, she said, my friends and I are having a debate. They think it's weird that I find guys smoking such a turn on. Real cigarettes, not vapes like that stupid Stephen Dorff commercial. Seriously, am I the only one? And so I just wanted to say after that, that got a whole bunch of likes and a bunch of people were saying that a man playing with danger, willing to risk cancer, is a smash. So
that's what, there you go.
I mean, I'd prefer that you still don't smoke. But
maybe that should be my thing. I should just have an ashtray down here and just smoke the entire time.
Like Mad Men.
Yeah.
Anyway, then we have the lunar eclipse. Lunar or solar? I don't know which one it is.
I don't know. Is it the moon came before the sun? So is that lunar or is that solar? Because the solar is what's being blocked.
But lunar is who is moving.
Lunar is the one doing the eclipsing.
Okay, yeah,
I'm gonna say solar.
Okay, I'm gonna say whatever. Solar. I think that it's kind of bitchy of the moon, isn't it?
Ooh. Get out of my way.
Isn't it rude of the moon to be like the sun is like, listen, we have our roles. You have your role, I have my role.
Yeah.
You come at night, I show up in the daytime. Like, that's it. Occasionally while I'm setting, people see you and it's fine.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, look, the moon's still
out. Yeah. But for the moon to be like, I'm here. And the sun is like, no, people are going to go blind. And the moon's like, suck my dick. And like.
You know, I'll be honest. I was looking at the eclipse. I was following the news stories. At no point did I think, hey, I feel like the moon is saying, suck my dick to the sun.
It's like a real power play on the moon's part, isn't it?
Yeah.
You like, oh, you're so big and bad.
Yeah, look at me.
And bad. Look at me. Look what I can do. I could block you out, bitch. Like, whoa. The sun is like, all right, relax. We get it. Now,
I am the reason for this entire thing. You see this, right? You see anything that you guys see, the solar system, it's all me.
Yeah. But also I wonder if the moon is like, try to show up at night. Try me. Ooh. And the son is like, yeah, I do. I
set at, like, all the time.
I set at 10 o'clock in the summer. What more do you want? You know, I feel bad for the son now that I'm thinking about it.
I mean, it's going to kill us all eventually, but still, I do feel bad for it. Yes.
Yeah, it does. I mean, it's not the son's fault that it's going to kill us. It's our fault the son is going to kill us, you know?
No, it's kind of the son's fault.
I mean, it's not really the son's fault. The son is just there.
No, but stars expand and they eventually blow up. That's how we're all going to die eventually. Eventually, like, you know, I don't know, 2 million years from now. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah. Oh, well, that got bleak. Anyway, did you put on your fancy glasses and look up at the sun?
I did. I saw it for about, I want to say 15 seconds. And at that point, you could see the moon was starting to infringe on the site, and I was like, oh, okay, I get it. That was it.
Yeah, but I saw the 90, I think that's where we were, is like 96%. So we saw the crescent moon up here, which was nice. And then it looked like it was almost nighttime at like 3:30 or 4 o'clock. It suddenly looked like it was like 6 p.m.
You know, I didn't experience that. I was I think I was inside.
Yeah, you got over it. I was like, all right, that's it. And then next thing you know, the sun was out again. I was like, okay. And then it started raining. I was like, all right. I gotta say something. I'm not interested in the goings-ons of space.
Nah, it's not. It's not gonna matter in our lifetime, unfortunately. We're not gonna Star Trek-y, we're no Spock-y. We're not meeting any aliens in our lifetimes. I don't think there's not gonna be any interdimensional travel. Nothing.
No. So
space is there. Some people want to go up there. I get it. I don't think space travel will ever get to a part, will ever get to a point where I can afford it. Mm-mm. So, you know, great. Space is out there.
No. It's not my business. It's not my business. I don't know.
Exactly.
I don't know what's going on up there.
The moon's telling the sun to suck its dick. It's between them. Not me.
Not me. I'm not interested. Okay. the eclipse, like, nature, these things are not for me. I don't know. Like, there's more than enough for me to worry about here. That's as a true person. I've got humans to take care of. I got bills to pay. There's
You're
other
far things. Enough removed from actual nature to have to worry about anything real.
And they're like, oh, it's like the last time it happened was 100 years ago. And I'm like, how do we know that? Who told us? How do we know that?
What happened like 5-6 years ago? I remember there being another eclipse.
It was like that? A partial or something.
Oh, this was a full. Oh boy.
Anyway.
You know, your husband pointed something out about this.
Oh, he's such a nerd. He's oh my God. He is just the biggest space bitch out there. He said, this is so cool. I can't wait to watch Interstellar later. I was like, all right, grow up, nerd.
His point was, if you were, you know, if let's say if you were alive 1,000 years ago and you saw this, or even like 200 years ago, of course you'd lose your mind. You'd be like, oh my God, the world is coming to an end.
Yeah.
You know. That's why you have sacrifices and stuff like that. That's what people are lobbing off heads.
Yeah, like, but that's people were so worried that the world was going to end yesterday between the earthquake and this. And I was like, world is going to end? It is already ending. Look that's around. True. Okay.
We got more than enough stuff that we're doing. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm doing some traveling later this week or next week. Actually, yeah, later this week on Saturday, I'm going to New Orleans.
Ooh.
And then soon after that, I'm going to Los Angeles. And then soon after that, I'm going to Mexico City.
Mm-hmm.
So we got a lot of travels coming up.
Yeah.
But I don't feel confident about it because while I am not the sky is not my culture, I am concerned about air travel.
Well, yeah. I mean, all the planes are going down. All the Boeing planes are going down.
All the Boeing planes are going down. What's going on?
Did you watch the, I sent you guys, I don't know if you watched the video, but apparently Boeing, their standard of quality has really dropped in like the last 20 years because they are using the money that they used to use for R&D into artificially pumping up their stock price. Oh, so people are making more money and that's the reason why everything is shit.
Brother.
Safe travels. Have fun.
Yeah, I'm worried. I mean, literally, planes are just like, they're like, yeah, the engine fell out of some plane, so we had to do a quick stop. Or like,
yeah.
every other day you see that somebody, another emergency door opened up.
Yeah.
Do you know that like the economy plus emergency row seats are like $0 now? They're like, just take it for free because nobody wants to sit in them anymore.
Get sucked right out.
Now, when you're in the plane, do you keep your seatbelt on the whole time?
I think so.
I think I'd be pissed if my AirPods flew out of my ear.
If your AirPods flew out of your ear? So you stay in your seat, but your AirPods get sucked out?
Yeah.
What if only one gets lost? It's the worst.
It's the worst. Oh, that's the worst. Like, if I lose my phone, I'd be, like, kind of mad.
Yeah, no. I mean, that's definitely something that you want to make a comment to the...
in my Yelp.
What do they call them now? Or what do they call the air hostesses now?
Damn it. I just thought about this the other day. They're not air hostesses. I can't believe we still say that. They're called
flight attendants.
Flight attendants.
We really are. I think you and I, we really are the dumbest combined 79-year-olds in the world, I want to say. So, like, if you take a 78-year-old and a 1-year-old combined, they are smarter than you and I. Knocking heads, morons.
Flight attendant.
What was it saying? Oh, yeah. If you lose an AirPod, that's something you say to the flight attendant on your way out. Like, hey.
I'm going
to
press the button on top. Ding.
The door
is open.
Also, not as big a deal, but I am missing an AirPod. Is there some sort of policy that you guys have?
Am I going to get reimbursed for this? Or, like, what's the plan here?
What if she tries to give you, like, the shitty ones that they give you, the corded ones?
They're the worst. By the way, I have so many of those because I don't want to boast, but I am a United member.
Ooh.
The only thing you get is, like, free headphones, basically. That's all you really get. So I have a bunch of them. They're so bad, and I can't get myself. It's, like, one of those things. Like, I'm not a hoarder, but there are certain things that I have a hard time throwing away. Like, technology is one of them because I feel like it's not good for me to throw away technology because I'm like, what if I need it in the future? Like, cables. Like, random cables, chargers, things like that. I just have, like, so many.
You are our father's daughter. So many cables.
I mean,
so many, like, computer power cables. Just, I'm like, why? What do we need this for?
I don't have that many of those, but I do have a lot of chargers. I've got a lot of chargers and headphones.
The headphones, what do the ends look like? Are they standard headphones? Or are they, like, the stupid plain, like the double dongle?
No. If I got a double dongle, that's going to die. Keep your double dongle away from me.
Especially during Ramadan.
No double dongles. No double dongles.
For a month.
You know what? There is a saying and there's a belief amongst Muslims that during the month of Ramadan, the devil is shackled. And as soon as Ramadan ends, the devil comes out to play. And between this conversation, they are present.
The devil is definitely present. The devil's been present since 7:34 p.m. That's when Ramadan was officially over.
So anyway, good luck to me, I guess, when I travel. I don't know what's going to happen. Yeah.
I didn't know if you were looking for well wishes or what from my end on that.
No, I just wanted to share my anxiety with you.
If you get sucked out, does the podcast continue?
You would have to get on. First of all, I don't think you would because you don't have any of the stuff. What are you going to do?
I don't know how to upload anything.
I don't know.
Apparently, I just learned how my mic works. I'd be so screwed.
Yeah.
Can you leave a notepad with all the passwords and stuff in case I want to get to it? I want to pay people.
All right, fine. All right. Well, hopefully I don't die.
I write to you with a heavy heart. Door got sucked out.
In a great moment of irony, all that's left behind are her AirPods.
That would be amazing. If you get sucked out, but the AirPods stay behind? That is a violent death.
I Anyway. Hey. Women's sports. You want to talk about women's sports?
Yeah, the broads with their balls and stuff.
So Iowa and South Carolina played. Yes, and Iowa lost.
South Carolina won.
Yeah, yeah. I know. I'm just pointing out Iowa lost because, you know, you're Caitlin Clark man.
Everyone's a Caitlin Clark man. Okay. Caitlin Clark person. But yeah, it was, did you watch the game?
I watched it here and there.
It was exciting. It was a good, exciting game. Caitlin Clark came out very hot in the first quarter. She scored 18 points. It was amazing. Mm-hmm. And Iowa had a big lead. But South Carolina is the better team. And they should have won. And they won. So all in all, very good. Very good tournament. Really built up from where it was last year. Because these storylines continued. And then next year, Caitlin Clark is going to go to the WNBA. And it's going to be great. Because a lot of people are going to come out and watch her. So it's going to be good for WNBA attendance. Just because people are going to be following her. But I hope what it also means is that people are going to be watching other WNBA. And they're going to come back for like college basketball also because, yeah, Caitlin Clark is leaving. But Paige Beckers is coming back next year.
Yeah.
Juju Watkins from USC. The two South Carolina freshmen are coming back. There's a lot of good stories.
I was going to tell you about Juju Watkins today.
Oh,
yeah.
What about Juju Watkins?
She's a freshman who has scored more points than Caitlin Clark in her freshman year.
Ooh. So. Juju Watkins is very good. She is awesome.
Yeah.
She's going to be awesome. And that's the exciting thing, right? So that is a positive of having somebody like Caitlin Clark because then you watch the other games also. And now you get to follow other people.
Yeah.
Like other storylines and stuff. And then if you have time, you can go back and you can watch other old stuff. Watch a Maya Moore thing.
Yeah, of course. I wanted to talk to you about this thing that happened with Dawn Staley, the head coach of, is it Staley? Is that how you say her last name?
Yeah.
The head coach of South Carolina. So I guess like the leading up to the final game, she was doing like, you know, they were doing press conferences and stuff. And somebody asked her about trans women in sports, about her opinion on trans women in sports. And the guy who asked the question was like, this is a major issue that's been coming up a lot. It's a really important issue. What are your thoughts about trans women in sports? And she just looks so fucking over it because I really like her. I really like Dawn Staley. Yeah. She looked like she had had it. And she was like, she said, if you're a woman, you should play. If you consider yourself a woman and you want to play sports, you should play and vice versa. That's it. And he was like, so you think like transgender women should be in sports? You think that that's it? And he was like, she was like, is that what you're asking me? If that's what you're asking me, that do I believe that transgender women should be in women's sports? I'm telling you, yes. Are you happy with that? And it was like so rude because it was like, this is a question you're asking a women's college basketball coach. First of all, you wouldn't ask this question to a man, right? Like, this is the issue, is that you don't ask these questions to men. You don't worry about these things. Also, it's not the biggest issue that's coming up in women's sports. There's been like less than 50 trans athletes ever in the history of any of these sports. There's like 500,000 college athletes. And of them, there's been like, what, one or two college like trans women in sports or whatever. And it's like not this pressing issue that they're bringing, but they brought this issue to specifically a black coach, a black female coach, as if it's like this big thing that like she needs to solve for, when like this is not a pressing issue in sports. The bigger issue in sports is like especially in women's sports, is that there are men who decide how much money women should make or how much coverage women should get in sports. It's not actually about, like, trans women is not an issue in sports.
Yeah.
Especially not, number one, not in the game that Dawn Staley is coaching, not in the division that she's coaching. So I don't understand why. So anyway, it was really annoying, but I really liked her answer because she was like, this is fucking dumb.
This is the first that I'm hearing of it. There's a lot of sports media that's happening right now that is just, it's, so obviously, you know, sports media is basically an opinion industry, right? So like you have the games and you can talk about the games only so much, about the ins and outs of the games and how people scored, who won, blah, blah, blah. The rest of it is just you create all of these narratives because you have to fill up time, right? And that's, as a sports fan, a lot of that stuff is very exciting and fun. It makes it all very, very fun to watch and follow, right? So that's the reason why First Take and all those things are very big. There is another side of sports media that's happening now, which is people are taking their political views and they are trying to shoehorn them into sports topics, right? They're you know, people like Barstool Sports. I don't know if Barstool Sports does this, but they would definitely want to create basically controversy, right? There is a company called Outkick the Coverage, I believe it's called. That guy used to be a writer for Deadspin, and now basically all he is he is just kind of like a conservative troll. So anytime there is a sports story, you know, he tries to shoehorn in some sort of political thing, some sort of Donald Trump thing. I wouldn't be surprised if the person asking this question was somebody from Outkick. Outkick the Coverage, I think it's what it's called, right? And that is the reason why this question was asked. The question was asked so that they could get a response, and then they could write some bullshit story about it and put like a tweet about their bullshit story, send it out there, and then have just people fucking reply to it or retweet it and just basically manufacture a story on its own, right?
Yuck.
The sad part about it is, again, like you mentioned, you are taking the opportunity. Like, this is like the crowning achievement of Dawn Staley's coaching career, right? This is, she coached a perfect basketball team. That is an incredible thing. Mm-hmm. Her basketball team lost one game last year. She is, by any means, she is, there's more than enough like meat on her sports accomplishments that you can just talk to Dawn Staley about that. You can talk to Dawn Staley about all the great things that she's achieved. Like, I've known Dawn Staley since the 1996 women's dream team, basically. That was like the famous dream team, right? So she's been around for a long time. There are more than enough topics to discuss with her. This is somebody just trying to create a narrative for no reason, right? That topic of transgender athletes, especially female athletes in sports, it's a very complicated one, right? Mm-hmm. And it requires a lot of conversation. It requires a lot of, you know, it requires a lot of nuances. Mm-hmm. And the people that are pushing these stories aren't interested in any of the nuances. No. They just want to be like, well, so what this person is going to do is just be like, okay, oh, Dawn Staley said that she's okay with men playing basketball. Next year, you know, let's get the Purdue men's team to put on wigs and play that. Like, that's the conversation that they want to get going, right? Which is a bullshit conversation. And it's like, why are you having this conversation in front of the women's national championship game?
Yeah.
Like, have this conversation. Ask a man about how he feel about having a trans, you know, male athlete on the team. But you're not going to do that.
But they never ask, because it's always about like, it's always sort of baked into this like concern for like the protection of women against men. Yeah. Right. But like, that's actually not your concern. You don't actually care about women, because if you cared about women, again, you would be concerned about the fact that the bigger pressing issues is the amount of coverage that women's basketball gets, the amount of pay women get in sports, like the wage gap or the inequitable conditions that female athletes are subjected to compared to male athletes. That's a bigger issue than the one trans athlete that we hear about every few years.
Exactly. And if you want to bring like a social commentary or a social story to your coverage, how about you ask a Texas women's basketball player what she would do if she needed an abortion?
How about that conversation?
Is way more pressing and way more of a realistic thing that people have to face than your bullshit, you know, hypothetical about a transgender female playing basketball. So
yeah,
it's just dumb.
It's so dumb. Final thought, and this is something that I have been thinking about for a little while, and I didn't know how to like bring it up, so last week we sort of just touched on it, but I want to talk about the death of the targeted killing of the seven World Central Kitchen aid workers in Gaza. So We heard about this like last week. I think it's been about 10 days, I think, since this happened. It was really tragic, awful. But I wanted to talk about it because I've seen that there's like a major shift in public opinion and how coverage is happening in the United States in like prime time television. Like Colbert has talked about it. Like, you know, they've mentioned it. Like Padma Lakshmi's used her platform to talk. I mean, she signed a ceasefire like petition a long time ago or whatever. Yeah. But she, or like a letter for ceasefire a while ago. But, you know, there are more and more people now. Like, I mean, it's fucking bullshit. Some of it, like Katy Perry leaving broken heart emojis on like Jose Andres, the chef's Instagram and stuff, like the World Central Kitchen Instagram and stuff. Like, it's okay, fine. But there is this shift that I've noticed now that there is in the United States after these 7 aid workers were killed. And I've been having a lot of feelings about it. And I think one of the feelings I've been having about it is actually anger and like frustration, because it again sort of exemplifies that the 30,000 dead Palestinians was not enough for that to be outraged, because those 30,000 dead Palestinians, like, who said that do we even know that there were 30,000? Like, it's so, it like adds to the dehumanization of like Arabs and Muslims and specifically Palestinians, that like their on the ground coverage is not enough for you to believe what is happening to them. You need Westerners that were there, that were killed, to in order for you to suddenly realize that how inhumane things are. Mm-hmm. And these are not the first aid workers that have died.
No.
These are not the first aid workers that have died. And World Central Kitchen has actually been raising issues with how the Israeli military has been moving in Gaza for a long time. Other aid organizations have mentioned it too. They shut down UNRWA, which is like the refugee organization from the UN. Like, they have, there's been so many people clamoring about the conditions in Gaza, and these 7 aid workers died. And because these 7 Western, well, so I think there's actually Arabs in there too, but because these 7 people that were working in this humanitarian organization that was run by a celebrity chef, because they died, now suddenly, now it seems like that's enough to like move the needle to for people to care. And while I'm glad that they care now, it's still one of those things where it's like, fuck you for taking that. It's been 6 months. Mm-hmm. We're now 6 months into this. It's been half of a year. 30,000 people are dead. 2 million people are displaced. Like, there's no question anymore about what is going on the ground in Gaza. People are starving to death. Like, children are dying. Like, they're 3 months ago, they were trigger warning. If you don't want to hear this, please go ahead and skip ahead. There were, you know, dead babies in the NICU that were found in hospitals because they couldn't evacuate. And that wasn't enough, right? And so I don't know. I just like, I've been feeling a lot of frustrations, even with like, I've told you a little bit about it, about sort of the way that even being a Muslim in the West and trying to work with people who are like liberals who say that they care about you, how our grief and how our trauma is still sort of needs to be packaged up in a way that is palatable or understandable to the Western brain. And it continues to make me feel the like intense dehumanization that like the unlearning that still needs to happen in the eyes of the Western world for Muslims and Arabs and people of color.
Yeah, it's you know, the aid workers, I think even before the aid workers, I mean, in terms of the narrative about this conflict now, right? I feel like most people at the very least now recognize the fact that even if they don't want to call it a genocide, but just how unbelievably fucking one-sided this whole offensive is. Mm-hmm. Like, when you look at the numbers, it's fucking crazy how much one side has been pummeled to the ground. And when we say one side, again, these are children.
Yeah.
Half of them are children.
Yep.
They're children that have bombs dropped on them, right? You see, it's, you know, that emotion that you're talking about, the anger, that is justified. Because you do feel that way. You're like, yeah, I am so sad for those 7-8 workers, because that is a person that is giving their time. It's something that I would never do because I'm too selfish. Like, and I don't have, you know, I don't have the capacity to do it. I can't imagine the type of person that goes somewhere else in a war zone just to try to feed people. That is a saint of a person.
Yeah.
And then you're like, well, they died. And then you figure it, well, they were actually killed.
Yeah.
And then you figure, well, they were actually hunted. Right.
Yeah.
And then you hear that story, and it's like you need those four things to happen before people are talking about it.
Yeah.
Because if the 7-8 workers died by just sheer accident, which, you know, it happened by accident. I don't think Israel meant to kill 8 workers.
I don't know.
I don't know, right?
The IDF did their own investigation into their own killings. So, you know, super unbiased reports, I'm sure, coming out of that.
Sure. But even then, you know, I think logically speaking, it does not behoove Israel to target and kill aid workers. You know what I mean? That's a bad look for Israel, and it brings on heat like this, right? But all of those things needed to happen for even this storyline, or for even this story to kind of catch on and for people to talk about it, for it to rise to the level of Katy Perry, you know, thank God she got
a heartbroken emoji.
Yeah. Thank God. Because, you know, American Idol auditions there, you know, that stuff it makes you dizzy. Anyways, that's the part that's so frustrating. It's just like, and also kind of in how we talk about it, you know, every time that we have talked about it, I think we make it a point to say there's a difference between Israel and Jewish people, and it's very easy to fall into anti-Semitic traps, right? Mm. And we do that every single time because it is important. Mm-hmm. And it's important because we've seen people fall into those traps, and it's very, very easy to do that, right?
All right.
And it's like you do that every single time. And you talk about how awful October 7th was, because it was awful.
Yeah.
And you feel like, well, I need to kind of make sure that I am paying attention to this one part, that I say, that I declare how awful I think all of these things were, just because I want to get sympathy for the 30,000 fucking people that died.
Yes.
Like, think about those numbers. And that's the frustrating part. That's the part that kills you. You're just like, I understand you want to make sure that nobody gets offended. You want to make sure that you highlight suffering on both sides, because there is. I think each life is important, right? But if each life is important, and that's how we should be looking at it, then really let the 30,000 lives, let that impact you. Don't just look at it as a number. Think about 30,000 lives, 30,000 dreams, 30,000, you know, hopes and all those things. 15,000 kids that were murdered. Think about those, like, actually think about it. Yeah. Don't just dismiss it because it's a big number.
Yeah.
So it's all very frustrating.
It's frustrating also because, like, as you're saying this, like, sort of disclaimer, right? Like, that you have to almost disclaim the fact that October 7th was a horrible thing. You have to disclaim the fact that, like, this isn't an attack on Jewish people or Jewish faith. This is a critique of a particular army and all these things. Like, I think that that's also frustrating as a person who is watching people die. It's frustrating to be like, you know, it's almost like I feel like I have to disclaim it, because otherwise, if I don't, the assumption will be like, well, then you're anti-Semitic, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And I think that's frustrating, right? It's like, why is that becoming a topic when I'm raising a concern that 15,000 children have been killed?
Exactly.
And so I think that
15,000 children should be enough.
Yeah, and I think that the issue there is that there is this belief, this belief that we are all inherently, like, Arabs are inherently anti-Semitic, or that Arabs are barbaric in a particular way where they have to qualify themselves as peace-loving Muslims before they can get any ounce of empathy or sympathy, right? Yeah. When it's like, no, we're all just fucking human beings who deserve all of that in the first place. So like,
exactly.
I don't know. I had this was on my mind. I'm also just frustrated with like the way that a lot of times like the Muslim experience still has to be packaged into like this, you know, disclaimered, palatable, explanation before you mm-hmm. take me seriously. And I think that's really frustrating. And even in the work that I've been doing like locally, that's been something that's been coming up where I feel like my feelings as a Muslim woman, my feelings as a brown woman often need to be sort of like packaged up in a way that is palatable for the general audience.
Yeah.
But those aren't my words a lot of times. Those aren't my words, or those aren't actually my feelings, but we're going to change it so everybody feels good and happy about it. And it's like, oh, but that's not really what I was trying to say. And I don't think that I should have to mask my feelings and put my feelings into like a nice Western box to be understood. Yeah. My feelings should be understood because I'm a Muslim woman who is seeing her people under attack. And that should be more than enough, you know?
Exactly. Because, you know, I think what we do with like, you know, making those, we declare stuff beforehand.
Yeah.
The reason why we do it is because we're saying, hey, I'm a human being just like you.
Right? Yeah.
And it's like, hey, just so you know, I have the same values as you in terms of, you know, saying that when terrorists attack innocent people, I also believe that that is a bad thing.
Right? Yeah.
And it's like, okay, yes, I understand I have to do this little play acting, not play acting, but whatever it is, I have to make things easier for you, right? But it's also like, well, if I'm a person and I'm telling you about my people,
yeah,
really think about the people that are dying, the 15,000 people that are dying. I'm doing this. I do this thing for you. You think that I'm okay. I'm an okay person to talk to. Once I do that, really listen to what I'm saying.
Yeah. Right? But also stop making people have to do that. Stop making people have to disclaim that they are like a decent human being before you're going to take them seriously, especially when they're talking about the murder of 30,000 people and displacement of 2 million, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry to bring it down.
Seriously. We started on such a fun Muslim note with you telling the moon to suck its cock. Because
we started off on such a happy note about me getting sucked out of an airplane.
Oh man, what if you die that way? That is gonna be, you think the numbers go up that week?
I'll be pissed because I'm not gonna be able to reap the benefits of it. You know what I mean? True. So good for you, I guess.
Wait, do I get the podcast? Who gets the podcast
anymore? I think you do. I think, you know what? I watch you and Arthi take over the podcast and
there you go.
And make it number one. Be like, oh my god, all we needed was for her to get sucked out of a plane all this time.